Amen. I want to thank God for Pastor Dameron and his staff and the church for their labors to plan and implement this conference. So needful, and we praise the Lord for it. All of us say thank you to you, Pastor. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll tell you right now, I'm ready for this conference. I mean, I'm charged up, and I've got my breath mints, and right there they are. And if somebody gives me a note, I've got my post-its, and I've got my conference handbook, of course, right there. And I've got extra sheets of paper to take notes on. I've got notes on Brother Allison's sermon, so I know what to say next time I want to talk on that. And then I've got names of people from Fairhaven and preachers from around the country that my 66-year-old mind won't remember, so I have a cheat sheet. And then, oh yes, I've got calendar sheets. Calendars. You know what calendars are for. I have a smartphone, and my smartphone has a calendar that syncs to my computer. Wonderful thing, except it takes a while to populate, and you only get about maybe 4 to 6 months ahead, and I'm booked farther than that ahead. And so I bring a calendar with me. You know, evangelists do that kind of thing. And yes, my computer syncs, and it's powerful. It's amazing, but it's slow. But I found a new invention that really works. The invention is paper. Paper and pen or pencil and cursive writing. And I learned to write cursively so I could read it. And it's amazing. I never mistake a W for an A in cursive writing. I never do that. But when my fat little fingers hit what I think is the A and it's the W, and I get very frustrated. Then I have to back up, and it's just so slow. So I'm so glad to be up with the times using paper. I keep a calendar in case someone wants to book a meeting with Roger Bottrell or with Brother Eric Ramos, evangelist, or other missionaries or other evangelists. If they need a calendar to look at, it's right there. So I'm ready for this conference. I hope you're ready. Oh, my. We've been praying for this, that God would speak to our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, you probably have it committed to memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Now, although there are many standards today, there's really only one source of standards that count. We need to pledge allegiance afresh to God and to His Word. Amen. That's where we get our marching orders. That's where we get our standards. But today, some Christians say that grace erases the need for standards and convictions. We Christians have the liberty to do what we want to do and say what we want to say and go where we want to go and have friendships with who we want to have friendship. We have liberty. These disputers say that having standards is law and legalism. Well, legalism, first of all, is adding to the plan of salvation. And we don't, any of us believe that. But did you hear about how Abraham Lincoln answered a stubborn disputer? Do you hear what he said? Lincoln said, well, let's see, how many legs does a cow have? And rather disgustedly, the disputer said, 4, of course. And he said, that's right, agreed Lincoln. Now, suppose that you call the cow's tail a leg. Now, how many legs does the cow have? And he said, why, five, of course, he said confidently. Well, now, that's where you're wrong, Lincoln said. Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. And just because some disputer discounts the need for standards and convictions doesn't make it so. Just because they say it. As Christians, we must get our marching orders from the Bible. Amen. Now, let's start with a definition of terms as we begin the conference. R.B. Ouellette defined several terms to help us today. Number one is principle. It's in your manual there. Principle. The meaning of a Bible principle is the foundational or elemental biblical truth by which we must live. It's in the Bible. It's a truth we must live by. The words principles are found, the word principles is found two times in the New Testament, Hebrews 5:12 and 6:1. So a principle is a Bible truth we must live by. Number two, there's the word conviction that we need to define. The secondary dictionary definition of conviction is, and I quote, a firmly held belief or being thoroughly convinced of what one says that he believes. So it's a personal belief based on Bible principle. A conviction is a personal belief based on what? Bible principle. That's right. For the believer, he must be convinced by what he sees in the Bible and what he knows about our God. Conviction comes from being fully persuaded. All right, number three is the word standard. A standard is a guideline to help me maintain my convictions. It's a guideline set up to help me maintain the convictions that I saw in the Bible. And finally, preference. By contrast, preference means merely a greater liking for one alternative over another where no Bible principle is involved. One person likes this, another person likes that, everybody's happy. You will not stand and fight to defend a preference as you should stand and defend a conviction because you have no foundation for it. Preferences don't demand much attention. They don't demand much teaching or policing. We tend to have more preferences than we have convictions. Preferences are based on feelings and emotions. Convictions take study and thought because they're founded on Bible principles. And they also take the fear of God in us to see a Bible principle and be convicted to enact it in our lives consistently. Takes the fear of God. Preferences are influenced by what others say and think. Convictions are influenced by what God says and tells us in His Word. So there's a difference. One article on this topic stated that the Supreme Court ruled on preferences. Did you know that? A preference, they said, may be a strong belief, but a belief that you will change under the right circumstances. Circumstances such as peer pressure. If your beliefs are such that other people must stand with you before you will stand, then your beliefs are merely a preference, not a conviction. Or family pressure will do it, as Dr. Allison spoke about last night, mentioned. Lawsuits, jail, threat of death, to name a few, might get you to change a preference. However, the Supreme Court further said, a conviction is a belief that you will not change. Why? Because a man believes that his God will require it of him. Preferences aren't protected by the Constitution. Convictions are. And so turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Do you see how important it is to know what the Bible said about these important areas of life? You say, but the Bible doesn't address everything. Well, now wait a minute. Think about that in light of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Did you see that? God has given us everything that we need in this life. And it's all given to us in our King James Bible. And he does it as we gain a knowledge of our God. We aren't doing enough study, I'm convinced, about our God. What kind of God is he? If we knew our God better, we'd understand why it's important that we do develop convictions and standards. As we get to know our God better, Bible and knowledge are knowledge of God are the two keys. The Bible is our light and our lamp. It is profitable, we read in 2 Timothy. Therefore, study and find this week Bible truths. Rediscover Bible truths this week. Develop convictions based on those principles and establish your standards to help you keep those convictions. All right? Not only definitions do we need to look at as we begin this conference, but also perspective of where we are today. In America, after years and years of weak or no clear teaching from many pulpits all over our country, Bible-believing churches even, Baptist churches, and hours every week of TV and media and the internet, folks have developed a mere fondness or a preference for certain standards of music, holiness, dress, entertainment, social media, and other topics that we'll deal with this week, without seeing any Bible truth of what God thinks about these issues. Who will teach these truths if the pastor doesn't teach them? Listen, it's not merely going through the scriptures verse by verse. Our people need to be versed in these topics. And it's up to us. Who's going to teach it if we don't, gentlemen? So we must teach it. However, you can see how it's turned out in most of our churches today. Pastors and whole churches flounder without convictions where the Bible is not clearly, totally taught. Pastors haven't studied the principles sometimes and established convictions themselves and establish standards on based on those convictions, and therefore can't figure out how to implement these in the church. Well, I'll just live it and they'll catch it. Well, try that with teaching any other doctrine in the Bible. I'll just live the deity of Christ in my life and they'll catch it. No, we teach them. We teach them word upon word, line upon line, and we need to do that with these topics as well. As one preacher put it, we all agree that fornication is wrong, but kissing, petting, holding hands, being in a car alone with the opposite gender, single dating, and everything else that can lead to fornication seems to be all right. At least by our muteness, it seems to be all right. It seems to be all right by the fact we never say anything about it. All of us agree that pornography is wrong, but we dare not ban going to movie theaters and watching TV or DVDs or internet semi-nudity or worse. All agree in generic terms for dress, like ladies should dress modestly and dress appropriately. You basically just said nothing. But we dare not define what modest is, what men's clothing is, or how long hair should be. At least that's how some feel. But brethren, a study in the Bible will answer all of these questions very clearly. So consider the purpose of this conference. at least as I understand this conference, the purpose is to challenge every preacher and preacher's wife and staff member and church member and teenager to stop and take another look at the scriptures as it relates to convictions and standards. Take another look. Check your own walk with the Lord and the seriousness of your own study of His Word. Our prayer is that you'll leave here hungrier to dig into God's Word than you've ever been in your life. Our prayer is that you'll leave here knowing the Bible, why you must take stands, and armed with Bible principles of what pleases God in these areas. Further, we pray that you will be able to separate preferences from convictions and defend Bible convictions when someone challenges you. If you're rebellious, stubborn, disinterested, or don't want to listen, you know what? Nobody can help you. You're here, but you're not here. And we want to help you, but if you don't want to be helped, we can't help you. But if you're here and you're tenderhearted, and if you're teachable, this will be a great conference for you. We challenge you to take notes that you can refer back to again and again. Make a notebook of your findings from this conference this week. If you have failed in some area, confess it as a sin. Face it. Look in the mirror of God's Word this week and say, okay, I messed up in this area. I've been weaker in this area. I backed off in this area. I want to correct it, and confess that before God this week. Then make a fresh commitment in every area where God shows you a Bible truth this week. And don't waver from the stand in years to come. Stick with true Bible truth. Finally, several warnings. As you learn Bible truth forms strong convictions, don't develop a judgmental attitude toward everyone else. I got the standard now. What's wrong with you? And you look down your nose at somebody else. Rather, know what you believe and why, and learn to explain it to someone else without a condescending attitude. Amen. Number two, give others time to learn and come to the truth like your pastor and your church has given you time to come to the truth. And then preachers, go back and love your people and gently weave truths of these issues into your preaching as the Holy Spirit leads you. Don't go back and do what one man did and change everything overnight. Man, we're going to get back. We're going to change this and we're going to change that. And he didn't give his people time to process it. And pretty soon he wasn't pastor there anymore. That would not be wisdom to do it that way. Give them time like the Lord gave you time. Teach them and love them. It's just a matter of truth in the Scriptures. Our prayer is that this conference will be an eye-opener for someone to strengthen you to take stands that are based on the Word of God. Shall we bow for prayer?